Right. So today we're diving into media theory and, a pretty big name in media theory,
Huge.
Marshall McLuhan. We've got some excerpts from his book, Understanding Media, and we're going to try to unpack how all sorts of different technologies, from the alphabet to television, impact our senses and our social structures.
I mean, I think what's so fascinating about McLuhan is that he's not just looking at like the content of media. He's really interested in the form,
Right.
the technology itself, the medium, and how that shapes
The medium.
how we think, our senses, even how we build our societies.
Yeah, I mean, let's just get right into it. The medium's the message. That's like
Oh, the famous
his famous
thing.
phrase, right? But like, I gotta be honest, like
It was a head
it's a
scratcher.
head scratcher. How can the medium itself be more important than like what's being said or shown? You know what I'm saying?
Well, think about the way that television changed our experience of film.
Okay.
It wasn't just about new content, right?
Right.
It was a whole new way of experiencing storytelling. And McLuhan says TV reprocesses film, kind of like how the Industrial Revolution reprocessed life on the farm. It takes the old and turns it into an art form.
Oh, so instead of killing it off,
It
it's like
reimagines
it
it.
reimagines it almost.
Exactly. And it's funny because you see that pattern again and again with new technologies. People freak out. They're like,
Right.
oh no, it's going to ruin everything. But then that everything suddenly becomes like elevated, almost
Ah,
like it
normal.
needed the new thing to show us how valuable the old thing was.
Give me a for instance.
Okay, well, look at Plato.
Okay.
Plato was totally skeptical of writing,
Oh, really?
thought it would destroy the art of dialogue and debate. But the funny thing is, his writing is now considered this classic example of philosophical dialogue,
Oh, wow.
right? Or you have printing, which comes along and like throws the Middle Ages into stark relief. Suddenly we're like, oh, wow, the Middle Ages, this fascinating period of oral tradition and cultural development,
Right.
because we have this new thing to compare it to.
So it's like the medium itself is almost acting as like a filter for how
Really,
we understand and value things.
It's like a lens that
Yeah.
we're looking through. And it's not just content, right? McLuhan digs deep into how different media affect us on a sensory level,
Right.
how they change the way we perceive the world around
All
us.
right, well, let's talk about that then, because I think this is where it really starts to
This is where it gets juicy.
gets juicy. Yeah. So how does media impact our senses?
Well, he starts with the phonetic alphabet,
Right.
right? And he argues that its focus on visual symbols shifted humans from a tribal auditory world to a more individualistic visual one.
Okay.
Right. So think about it. The ear is more attuned to group settings. We're listening together.
Right.
The eye promotes this singular focus, isolation with the page.
Right. That's a huge shift.
Huge shift. And he argues this has huge impacts on our social structures and how we experience time and space. Then printing comes along and it intensifies that visual focus,
Right.
even more so, which, McLuhan argues, laid the groundwork for the assembly line thinking of the industrial age.
So we become more
Linear.
linear, more fragmented in our
Fragmented, yin.
because of print.
Exactly. But here's the twist. McLuhan says electronic media, radio, TV, internet are reversing this trend.
Oh, wow.
They're retribalizing us with instant communication, bringing us back together in a global village. He says they're imploding time and space, making everything feel simultaneous and interconnected.
So we go from this tribal auditory world to an individualistic visual world, and now we're swinging back towards
This global electronic tribe.
the global electronic tribe. Is that
That's the trajectory he lays out. It's like
okay?
we're coming full circle, but with a totally new level of complexity.
So this is making me think differently about the media I consume every day.
Totally.
It's not just entertainment.
It shapes how you experience the world.
It's shaping how I experience the world, yeah.
Exactly. And to understand those effects even better, McLuhan gives us this really interesting framework, hot and cool media.
Okay, so what are hot and cool media?
So think of hot media as high definition, giving you tons of information, but not requiring a lot of participation from you. Like a lecture where you just sit there and absorb cool media or low definition, you have to participate more to fill in the gaps.
So like a book would be
A
hot,
lot.
but a conversation would be cool.
You got it. A book gives you everything laid out, but in a conversation, you have to actively listen, respond, and create meaning together. It's much more participatory.
Okay. So where does like radio, movies, television fit on this spectrum?
Well, McLuhan saw radio as hot because of that high-definition audio. It floods you with sound, leaving less room for mental participation. Film, he argued, was also hot because of its high-resolution images and narrative structure.
Okay.
But television, he saw as cooler than film because the image quality was lower and it often presented information in a more fragmented, mosaic-like way.
Right.
It demanded more participation from the viewer to piece things together.
Okay, so give me some examples of how these dynamics affect us in the real world.
McLuhan gives some really intriguing historical examples. Like, he says the waltz was a hot disruption to 18th century dance. It was new, exciting. It broke through the formal, structured dances of the time.
So it's not even just...
It was a hot injection of energy and immediacy.
It's not even just the technology.
Right.
It's how it sort of disrupts...
It's the effect it has.
Disrupts, yeah, the status quo.
Yes,
how
it changes the game.
Changes the game.
And he also talks about how giving steel axes to Australian Aboriginals actually caused their culture to collapse.
Steel axes caused a cultural collapse.
It was pretty dramatic. See, their culture was deeply tied to the stone axe as a status symbol.
Okay.
Right? Stone axes were cool, scarce, difficult to make. They held a lot of social significance. When missionaries introduced steel axes, this hot technology that was readily available and gave them to women and children.
Oh, wow.
It completely disrupted their social hierarchy.
What?
And their entire way of life.
Okay, so the implications of that are kind of mind-blowing, right?
It really highlights the power of these shifts from cool to hot and vice versa. And McLuhan argued that TV was cooling down America in a similar way. It was fostering a more participatory culture,
right?
Challenging those classic hot narratives,
right?
Like the rags to riches success story. Instead of passively consuming those idealized stories,
right?
TV viewers were becoming more involved, more skeptical, and more attuned to the complexities of real life.
I kind of like that analogy. Like, TV is this
cool breeze.
Cool breeze blowing through this.
Through the overheated landscape.
Overheated landscape.
Of American ambition.
American ambition.
Yeah.
It's making me rethink my own relationship with television.
That's the McLuhan effect in action.
Yeah. This is a great start to our deep dive into McLuhan. So far, we've looked at how the medium carries a message.
Yeah.
Hot and cool media.
Yeah.
And how technology can disrupt cultures.
Yeah.
Even entire ways of life.
Totally. There's so much more to uncover. I mean, McLuhan's work is full of these insights that can help us understand the media landscape and its profound effects on us and the world around us. One of the most mind-blowing things that McLuhan says is that media aren't just these external tools. They're actually extensions of ourselves.
Extensions of ourselves.
Yeah.
In what way?
He means extensions of our senses and bodies.
Okay.
Think about it. Clothing is an extension of our skin, right?
Yeah.
It helps us regulate our temperature. The wheel extends our feet.
Okay.
Allowing us to travel farther and faster. And the clock.
Right.
That's an extension of our sense of time, leading to a more structured, scheduled existence.
The media, in a way, like, become part of who we are, like influencing how we interact with the world.
Precisely. And McLuhan argues it goes even deeper. He explores how literacy itself changed our understanding of space-time and causality, for example. He talks about how the phonetic alphabet made us view space as this homogeneous, empty container for objects.
So how does the alphabet change our view of space?
He tells this anecdote about Nigerian students who struggled to understand shadows.
Really?
Because they perceived objects and space as separate entities.
Mm-hmm.
Their culture hadn't ingrained this idea of space as a container.
Right.
So they experienced it differently.
They weren't conditioned by literacy to see space as this empty box that we fill with stuff.
Exactly. And McLuhan points out that this non-literate way of seeing space, where objects define the space around them, is actually closer to how modern physics understands the universe.
Why?
Right?
Mind blown.
It's like our technologically driven culture is circling back to a more primal, perhaps more accurate understanding of reality.
Yeah.
And this leads to another fascinating idea, electric media and retribalization. McLuhan argues that these new forms of communication are connecting us globally, fostering a more inclusive and participatory culture.
Okay.
He says it's like we're returning to a tribal state, but on a global scale.
Ah, so that's where that global village concept comes in.
Exactly. He saw this happening with the telephone changing management structures, allowing people to bypass hierarchies and get more directly involved.
So technology has the potential to flatten traditional power structures.
It certainly can. And McLuhan also talked about the TV child, who's less driven by linear goals and more interested in immersive experiences than fragmented information.
Right.
He saw this reflected in fashion and art with the resurgence of tactile sensory experiences.
It's like we're shedding the skin of that overly visual fragmented world that print created.
Precisely. And this shift is mirrored in art. McLuhan noticed that the mosaic structure of newspapers and early film, that collage of images and information, was resurfacing in the Electric Age.
Which explains why modern art, with its fragmented forms and juxtaposition of objects, can feel so jarring. It's breaking away from those visual conventions we inherited from print.
Exactly. It's like modern art is a visual representation of this retribalization, this shift from a linear world to a more holistic, interconnected one.
Okay, my brain is definitely getting a workout today.
Right?
But I'm starting to see how these seemingly disparate ideas connect.
That's the genius of McLuhan. He pushes us to think about media not just as tools, but as forces that shape how we perceive, experience, and even define ourselves.
I'm starting to see the world in a whole new light. It's making me wonder how these media-driven changes play out in society as a whole. What did McLuhan have to say about that?
Well, he argued that media often reveal and accelerate social changes that are already in motion.
Okay.
They're like a mirror reflecting who we are and where we're headed.
So it's not that media create these changes out of thin air.
Right.
But they magnify and speed up what's already brewing beneath the surface.
Precisely. He uses the example of Flaubert, the French novelist, who believed his novel Sentimental Education could have prevented the Franco-Prussian War if people had understood the social forces it depicted.
So art can be a form of prophecy.
In a way, yes. McLuhan also talks about the telegraph decentralizing power structures, weakening the grip of those big metropolitan newspapers.
Right.
It allowed more diverse voices and perspectives to emerge, shaking things up a bit.
And didn't TV have a similar effect on politics?
Absolutely.
Bringing political events into our living rooms and forcing politicians to adopt a more cool and engaging presentation style.
Just think of Castro in Cuba. His ability to connect with people directly through television played a huge role in his rise to power.
Okay, so media can be a force for disruption and connection fragmentation and unity. It seems like it all depends on how we use them and understand their effects.
That's a great insight. McLuhan's work reminds us that we're not passive recipients of media. We have a responsibility to understand how they work and to use them consciously to shape the world we want to live in.
That's a powerful message. I'm starting to feel like I need a new vocabulary to talk about all of this.
Don't worry. McLuhan's work is definitely full of new terms and concepts, but once you grasp them, they're incredibly useful for understanding the world around us.
I'm up for the challenge. So where do we go from here? What other McLuhan gems are waiting to be uncovered?
A perfect example, television extends our visual sense, but can also amputate our attention spans and capacity for deep thinking.
Okay, so McLuhan is saying there's no free lunch with technology. There are always trade-offs.
Exactly. And his point is that we need to be aware of these trade-offs to make informed choices about the technologies we use and how we use them.
It's about finding a balance then, right? Using technology to enhance our lives without sacrificing our humanity.
Precisely. McLuhan believed technology could be an incredible force for good, but only if we use it wisely and consciously.
This makes me think about my own tech use in a whole new light. I'm starting to see the amputations alongside the extensions.
That's a good thing. McLuhan wanted us to be more aware of the subtle ways technology shapes our lives for better and for worse.
So to paraphrase McLuhan, be mindful of the amputations. Don't let technology diminish your humanity.
That's a great way to sum it up. He believed the key to thriving in our technological age is maintaining a balance between our human capabilities and our technological extensions.
I'm definitely feeling more empowered to take control of my relationship with technology.
That's the McLuhan magic. He wanted us to become more conscious and deliberate users of technology, not passive recipients of its effects.
Okay, so we've explored the amputations and extensions of media. What other McLuhan wisdom can help us navigate this media-saturated world?
Well, one of his most provocative ideas is that every medium has a reverse or anti-environment built into it.
Okay, another McLuhanism to unpack. What's a reverse or anti-environment?
McLuhan argued that by extending certain human faculties or senses, a medium creates the conditions for new forms of awareness and perception to emerge.
Okay.
These new forms challenge or subvert the dominant way of experiencing the world.
So it's like the medium contains the seeds of its own undoing.
Exactly. He believed these reverse or anti-environments demonstrate the dynamic, ever-evolving nature of media and culture.
I need an example to really grasp this one.
Think about the printing press. It created a culture of literacy and visual communication, but it also paved the way for Romanticism,
okay,
which emphasized emotion and intuition over reason and logic.
So Romanticism was a kind of anti-environment to the dominant print culture.
Precisely. And McLuhan argued this pattern repeats throughout history. Every new medium creates a new environment, but also the conditions for new forms of awareness that challenge that environment.
That makes you think about how the internet, with its decentralized structure and emphasis on participation, is challenging the top-down control of traditional media.
That's a perfect example. The internet is creating an anti-environment to the traditional broadcast model of media, where a few gatekeepers control the flow of information.
So McLuhan is essentially saying that media are always in flux, always evolving and generating new ways of seeing and experiencing the world.
Exactly. He believed this dynamic process was essential for cultural growth and innovation.
So we shouldn't fear change, but embrace it as an opportunity for growth and transformation.
That's a great way to put it. McLuhan was all about embracing the possibilities of new media and new ways of thinking. He believed the best way to understand a new medium was to dive in and experience it directly. Let it massage your senses and consciousness.
You've definitely got me feeling more adventurous, like I'm ready to explore those uncharted waters of the media landscape.
That's the spirit McLuhan would be proud.
We've covered so much ground today, from the medium is the message to hot and cool media extensions and amputations, the media massage, and the idea that we perceive the world through media. It's a lot to take in.
It is, but it's also incredibly empowering. Once you start to see the world through a McLuhan lens, you can't unsee it. You become more aware of the subtle ways media are shaping our perceptions, our thoughts, our behaviors, even our very sense of self.
I'm definitely feeling that shift in awareness. It's like I've been given a new pair of glasses to see the world more clearly. But I have to admit, it's also a little overwhelming. There's so much media out there, and it's constantly changing. How do we keep up? How do we avoid getting lost in the media maze?
That's a great question. And I think McLuhan would say the key is to cultivate media consciousness, to be more aware of the media we're consuming, the choices we're making, and the effects those choices have on us.
So it's not about avoiding media altogether, but becoming more intentional and discerning in how we engage with it.
Exactly. It's about becoming those surfers. McLuhan talked about riding the waves of the media landscape and choosing which ones to catch. It's about understanding the biases and shadows of different media, using that knowledge to make choices that align with our values and our well-being.
That makes sense. But how do we actually develop this media consciousness? It sounds like a lifelong process.
It is a journey, but it's a journey worth taking. And there are so many resources available to help us along the way. There are books, articles, websites, even podcasts devoted to media literacy and critical thinking.
Well, you know what they say? The medium is the message.
You got it.
As we wrap up this deep dive into McLuhan, what's the one takeaway you want our listeners to remember? What's the most important lesson from his work?
I think McLuhan's most important message is that we're not just passive recipients of media. We're active participants in shaping the media landscape and its effects on us. We have the power to choose the media we consume, to understand their biases and shadows, and to use them in ways that enrich our lives and communities.
That's a powerful reminder. It's easy to feel overwhelmed by the sheer volume of media out there, but McLuhan's work reminds us we have agency, we have choices, and we have the power to shape the media landscape for the better.
Exactly. He believed that understanding media was the key to unlocking human potential in the electronic age, and I think he was right.
So if McLuhan is right, and we become what we behold, what does that say about the future of human consciousness in this age of digital media? It's a question worth pondering.
It certainly is.
We'll leave you with that thought. Reflect on your own media habits and consider how those choices might be shaping your perceptions and experiences. Are you the surfer riding the waves of the media landscape, or are you being tossed about by the current?
The choice is yours.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into McLuhan's Understanding Media. We hope it's given you a fresh perspective on the powerful ways media shape our world and ourselves. Until next time, keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep surfing those media waves.